You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. A quick programming note. Friday morning, USDA is releasing its reports during the open outcry at 11 a.m. Central, that for the first time ever. So in response, we're adding a new on-air segment just on USDA report days. The segment will air between 12:20 and 12:29 p.m. and will feature analysis to the numbers, reaction to the numbers, and the assessment of the longer-term implications of where commodity markets might trade in the days after the report release. We hope you will tune in this Friday, that at 12:20 in the afternoon. Joining us now to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Looking at the market, and it was years ago, I mean, not so long ago, you would say, gee, we saw a 4.25 cent move in March corn. That was a big deal.
Yes. Yeah, and today it's not such a big deal. In fact, I probably have heard the terminology paint drying more often in the last few days than I've heard in a long time. And it's the truth. I mean, you know, we have a market that isn't sure where it wants to go. You know, the futures themselves are saying, we want the beans. You know, the March-May spread basically is about 11 cents apart at the moment, and definitely telling you that they want the beans. Country cash bids are saying we want the beans, in contrast to what we've been doing in the marketplace, you know, as far as sliding lower. You know, I looked this morning, Dave, I know we didn't talk about it earlier, but in China overnight on the Dalian, beans were at $22.86, and corn was at 11.03. That's up for the 10th week in a row in that region. And so when you start to look at that, maybe it begins to make a little more sense out of why we're seeing some cancellations coming here. Local bids for, you know, to the local producers in China are getting higher all the time. And therefore, you know, they're going to look to try and buy for a cheaper price somewhere else, you know. And so that's exactly what's happening. But I think that should make all of us here in the U.S. stand up and say, holy cow, those prices are high, and we probably will have to expect to see China try a few more games to get our prices at a lower level so that they can buy more.
Maybe they fired the first shot at a new game this week when they went out and asked for some option origin corn.
That's exactly right.
Option origin soybeans.
Soybeans. That is, I think that kind of was the first shot. You know, we've never really seen them do that. And perhaps that's also a statement on the fact that when you look at how tight our carryout number is, you know, they want to make sure that they've got plenty available to them. But I do think that's an additional shot, and we're going to see more shots like that unless their prices begin to weaken, and I doubt if that's going to happen anytime soon.
Meanwhile, we continue to get estimates from folk other than USDA on the size of crops, including, I think, CONAB came out with some numbers recently for South America.
Well, they did, and, you know, that's going to be a big question for Friday's report. They raised the bean crop expectation to 82.7, corn up to 72.2. You know, if they do indeed produce 82.7 million metric tons, that means that Brazil is going to surpass us as the biggest producer of beans. You know, the unfortunate part about the whole thing is, and it's not that long ago that we have to remember back to when corn was in their $2 level and how we'd get a decent corn price and suddenly we'd have fence row to fence row corn and then we'd have a crummy price. Well, it's the same thing, you know, when you look at South America. We've got a really good price due to the drought. They're just increasing acres dramatically, and ultimately it usually ends up wrecking the price is basically what happens. And so I don't doubt, you know, I mean, From the mentality of what a person's trying to do, they're okay if they've got themselves protected. But if they don't, it's not a good thing. You know, Argentina is starting to go to above normal temperatures again. So that's going to be another question that comes up. I think for the report on Friday, the biggest question will be, will the USDA adjust any of the South American numbers this early in the game?
Well, there are certainly cause to. I don't think you would see a big swing at it. Maybe you only see a half million instead of a full million.
Well, I think that's true. You know, USDA is usually quite hesitant to do a bunch of jumping around and make any big moves, although I guess I probably should bite my tongue on that because we've seen some pretty crazy things in the last couple of years happen. But at this stage, I think there's just so many questions about what's going to happen and what the weather's going to be like, you know, here in the U.S. as well as in the rest of the world. But reality is, you know, the trade is looking at it. They're saying we're going to plant a tremendous amount of corn acres this year and a huge amount of bean acres. There's going to be an increase in planting in the rest of the world. And therefore, the assumption is that we're just going to have a much larger crop. And the likelihood of back-to-back major droughts like we had, even though 2012 was the warmest year on record in the lower 48, you know, that is a that's going to be the big question as we go into the actual planting season. But for right now, we're getting some snow, we're getting some rain in some places, and everybody's pretty quiet.
So the last number of years, I think it's 5 years now in a row, we've had a limit move in corn on this particular reporting today. I call it the Super Bowl because we have four major reports, including the USDA annual crop production report, including the, if you include the January, you have five, but it's the annual everybody will be looking at. Make the case for a move this time because it just doesn't seem like on the face of it you're going to see a big move.
Well, you certainly wouldn't think that, although I believe that there's some pent-up buying sitting here on the side. Your funds like to buy when you have low volatility, and we certainly have low volatility in the corn market right at the moment. We're sitting on some major support and have been testing some major support. I think the only thing that could perhaps support a limit move in this market would be that we see the ending stocks for corn come in below the 8.2 average guess. If that's the case, that certainly says that there was a bunch of feeding of that early corn that was actually harvested before September 1st. That says that we still had a lot of livestock out there. And then if they do come in and actually lower harvested acres, even though it would force yields higher, you'd be in a situation where you'd have a lower production level. And now the wild card will be how much of the exports will they remove? You know, and if they don't remove a lot of exports, we come in lower than 667 or maybe even at that 647 level like we were last time, I think you could see a lot of pent-up anxiety here and a lot of pent-up buying, and it would take it. But I think that's about the only thing that could do it, and then that will be tempered by what type of report we actually have for beans or wheat.
You know, growing up, one of my favorite things to eat for a snack was Twinkies and milk. I can no longer get the Twinkie, and I guess as of today, I can get a little less milk than before.
Well, yeah, it's really sad. You know, it's Hostess, and now it's Golden Guernsey Dairy. Golden Guernsey Dairy in Wisconsin has been around for well over 80 years. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the ads for it, but they always had Gertrude the Bossy. She was this huge, huge cow, okay? And Saturday morning when employees got there, they were told not to bother, and the truckers who are coming to haul milk, and they are a big supplier of school milk as well as supermarket milk in Wisconsin and in other places, they just closed their doors after 80 years. And so I'm sure it's not the first that's going to go in all of the consolidation we've got going on. But the sad part is that what really happened was Dean Foods owned them. The Department of Justice stepped in and said Dean Foods had too large a portion of the market. They sold these guys off to some investment company out of California who basically gave them 1 year, and they increased their sales by 20% last year, but they could not get any concessions from the labor union, and so they decided not to fight and roll over and just quit.
Well, on that note, we'll have to let it go. Thank you, Jackie.
Well, thank you, Dave. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois.